Veteran Trash Talk, we actually vet our sponsors. We don't just take their money and run like a Butterbar Lieutenant lost on the land nav course. Are you finally ready to plant your flag and claim your territory? Maybe it's time to use that VA loan to buy a home. Or hell, maybe you're looking to refinance and put some extra cash in your pocket for more questionable life decisions. Either way, the Veterans Mortgage Source, powered by Canopy Mortgage, has your six. Look, buying a home or refinancing can feel like getting overrun on a bad op. Chaotic, confusing, and full of obstacles that make no damn sense. That's where Corey and his team come in. They're like the QRF of home loans, ready to pull you out of the chaos and guide you to the best program for you. And trust me, they'll answer all your questions. Yeah, even the dumb ones. Whether you're a salty vet or fresh out of barracks still trying to figure out where your TA-50 went. Great service, solid rates, and a team that actually understands the military life. That's why all of us here at Veteran Trash Talk trust them to do right by every veteran in their family. Ready to lock it in? Give Corey a call or shoot him a text at 808-699-7874. That's 808-699-7874. Don't wait. Unless you like overpaying and getting treated like an FNG. The Veterans Mortgage Source is powered by Canopy Mortgage, LLC. All loans are subject to credit and property approval.
What's up, Trash Talkers? Listen, it's impossible to fight, okay, if you don't know what you're fighting for. Does that make sense? Like, if you're in the dumps and you're, you know, you're struggling with mental health, things of that nature, it's going to continue tearing you down, all right? Because you're consistently trying to fight something, which is that demon, which is usually something from the past, right? Maybe that why needs to be fighting for your future. Let that be your why. Get the hell up and start fighting for your future. Stop fighting things that happened in the past. Easier said than done, right? Go seek help. It's okay not to be okay. A lot of people need to hear this. You are more of a warrior and a fighter if you stand up and say, hey, this has to stop. I need to go seek help. The stigma, everything has changed. It's okay not to be okay.
And so my honesty cap is dedicated to a little, we'll call it a public service announcement for civilians and other people in the military. There are a few people that you should always take their stories with a grain of salt. Vegans, CrossFitters, and special operations guys that tell you that they were special operations without being prompted. The first thing they say is, yeah, I used to be soft. Right. The only unicorn in that entire group is like a special operations guy that was like a vegan and did CrossFit. That guy's probably going to stay quiet for a little bit longer because he's confused as what he should talk about first. That's the only reason. Right. Anybody that says that they were soft without being prompted or without it being like a normal part of your communications is probably either an enabler or going to tell you a bunch of stuff that's not exactly true.
What's up, Trash Talkers? Hitting you up this morning with a special promo on how to dress when you are doing PT in civilians, but you want everybody to know you're an Army. This comes from the Buddy Beckwith fashion design of how to work out. So first, you can notice the RI panties, not Ranger panties, but Ranger instructor panties. The green socks, the knee brace for the old guys, don't forget the M-frames. Now the shirt, don't wear the Trash Talk shirt while you're running. This is just for the promo. You want to put on like an 82nd shirt or like your favorite airborne shirt so everybody knows that you're a veteran. That's the most important thing. And you start with this stretch. Buddy Beckwith taught me this one. ready to go.
This is the Veteran Trash Talk Hour, hosted by Nick, Dave, and Buddy. Real warriors making fun of other real warriors. Try to not get triggered.
What's up, Trash Talkers? What is up, Gruntworks Nation? Welcome to Season 2, Episode 28 of the Trash Talk Hour. Special guests today are Air Force veteran Monte and Army veteran Phil.
Monte. He's got like that Monte.
Why'd you got to fucking church it up?
It's Monte. Joining me today are the Monte and the Big Earl. Blah, blah, blah. Welcome
what
to the show.
Dave, we get it. You think you speak three languages. It's okay.
How about you just speak one? Three languages. All right?
Yeah, trilingual, like, baby.
How about you speak one well?
By the end of the show, he will speak
the dumpster fire.
Oh my
god. I just wanted to ignite the dumpster fire.
Mission we got a lot of people. We got a lot of people chatting on here, and this is why I always try to get Monte on the show. Monte. Because when you get Monte, on the show.
Monte is French.
But you get a lot of Air Force people that watch the show then. So we got David Martin coming in from Shepherd Air Force Base Fire Department checking in.
What's up,
and,
David?
Yeah, we got David Thompson from Combe County, Michigan, Selfridge ANGB. Of course, Dave's mom's here. We love Dave's mom.
Mom's here.
Yeah.
Love sure. it. Hey, mom. Love you. Thanks for tuning in.
Absolutely.
How's everybody doing today? Good? No buddy here today?
No buddy. What did he say he was doing?
I don't fucking know.
Traveling, right? Traveling for work. Traveling for work. Yeah.
Man. Again, out of season two, how many times has he showed up with clothes on?
I don't know. Like I said, was it your show that he did from the river? I mean, I said, usually, he was in the middle of a river. He was floating in a river doing
it. Oh, is that what he was still homeless? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And again, he's our Green Beret, so he does special things. I don't know. Like you heard in the beginning, he doesn't like talking about it. But I tell you, shoot, man, I'm pumped. I'm exhausted. I was at round two and three of the NFL draft yesterday up in Lambeau Field. And that, I mean, I'm from Wisconsin originally, and Lambeau
Field. I saw one shot. Did all of Wisconsin converge on Lambeau?
All of Green Bay did. The town of Green Bay doubled in size on Friday. So, and it was crap weather, and people don't realize how much, like, there's literally nothing to do in Green Bay except watch the Packers. It is a stadium in the middle of a neighborhood, and they're, like, everybody's there. And it was crap weather, and there was 100,000 people just standing out there partying. Like, it was a lot of fun. But yeah, I'm exhausted. It was a really, really good time. And if the draft is ever anywhere near, your city, go to it. It is freaking awesome.
Why do you say that? What was awesome about it?
So you're like, the NFL's $100 billion year company, right? And they put on a show that you would expect, right? So I'm like, everything's perfect. The cameras, the lights, the entertainment. You know,
I wasn't sure when I saw Goodell ride out on a bicycle. I thought it's over. We're done.
Well, that's because the Packers, their players during their preseason, they have kids will bring their bikes, and the Packer players will ride their bikes, and the kid will carry the Packers helmet, you know, and do that thing. And the other joke is everybody in Wisconsin can't drive because we have too many DUIs, so that's why we're all riding the bikes.
Well, now I get it.
Sounds like a party, but I don't think they're coming here anytime soon. So.
No, not in Alaska. But
probably
Alaska's pretty close to what Green Bay is, so it'd be the same thing. Everybody just show up.
Homeless people hanging around. But
and there's nothing to do in town. It's like a perfect match.
Yeah, like everybody's stuff is in the moose's tooth, and that's it. All right. You know, you visited.
Yeah. Oh, Jefferson County, Kansas. What is that? Daniel Tarwater. Man, I can't imagine that's too exciting there either. Is there anything exciting in Kansas? I guess the Jayhawks game, right? Maybe.
The exit roads.
Someone did tell me a Kansas joke. They said there's two really good things to do there.
Leave.
pack your shit and leave.
No, hey, but hey, glad you're watching, Daniel. I guess Kansas is all right. I think I've only driven through it once.
It's a flyover state. That's all it's good for.
No, that's one of those places you get an assignment. Like for me, if I ever had orders that said go to Kansas, I would seriously contemplate AWOL. Like that would be like, no, this sounds like a good thing to do today.
I mean, I don't know. Whew.
There's a couple bases where I would have, yeah, Fort Polk.
That's how I ended up here. I was in Alaska, Branch. I was at 24 years, and Branch was like, hey, we need to go to Fort Polk. And I'm like, hey, fuck you. I'm done.
Hell
like,
no.
We're done. No. You don't go from Alaska to
Fort Polk. Well, you're a CW4, and you probably couldn't find a CW5 to kill so you could become one. So,
that was definitely part of the problem. They don't have them down there. I was like, that's just not going to happen.
That's why both of them die every year.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like Highlander.
You never see them either. Yeah. There
can only be one.
No, it's because we go to school, we get that magician hat, and they put on that 5, and you just disappear.
Yeah.
Somewhere we're still getting paid, but you know.
Yeah. I was at Fort Bliss doing some virtual reality work to see if we could improve their maintenance programs on the Abrams and Bradley. And I had never seen that many warrant officers at one time.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Which one was holding the coffee? Though. That's how you figure out which one was in charge. Which one had the biggest cup of coffee? That's probably the guy that was
banging. The one with the baseball cap on.
That's it.
The one with the biggest notebook.
That's it.
So I was like, man. Like this is amazing. This must be
not have been a good meme, Nick. You should have taken a picture of that.
I was just gonna say you should have had a picture, man. Like we don't even get together for class pictures, let alone anything else.
I said that to the chief of staff of 1AD, the colonel. I was like, hey man, I really appreciate you guys taking this seriously. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, I mean, all these warrant officers showing up. I'm like, it made me feel good. Like
they had to be giving something away. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, oh, I thought something we were getting free VR goggles.
Something was free at that event.
Yeah, speaking of somebody who will leave you hanging dry, David Gray, Sergeant Major Gray, coming from Oklahoma. Yeah, I was there for 3 days. Gray didn't show up one time to hang out. That's fine. I don't take it personal.
You messaged him how many times?
Yeah, I don't even think about it, actually. Yeah. Surprised, yeah. No, love you, Gray. Love you. Hope you're doing well, buddy. So, yeah, I think it's the longest I've ever talked on an intro.
So we got a conspiracy here, Dave?
It is what it is. Yeah, it's not even really I guess it's kind of a conspiracy. I don't know the answer to any of this, but it's fun. It's very popular.
I hope it tops the first one we did.
I sent it to Buddy, and Buddy's like, yeah, dude, this one's been around forever. I can't believe you haven't covered it. And he's on the show today. But have you guys looked into the similarities between Lincoln and Kennedy?
Crazy.
It's fucking nuts. So Chris, go ahead and play the video. It's nuts. Yeah.
I can't believe how
real truth, you better wake up and find out, has been around you all of your life. You just didn't see it. Example, Abraham Lincoln was elected to Congress in 1846. John Kennedy was elected to Congress 1946. Abe Lincoln was elected president in 1860. John Kennedy was elected president 1960. The names Lincoln and Kennedy both contain 7 letters. Both presidents were particularly concerned with civil rights. Both of the president's wives lost children while living in the White House. Both presidents were shot on a Friday in the head. President Lincoln's secretary was named Miss Kennedy. Kennedy's secretary was named Miss Lincoln. Both were assassinated by Southerners. Both were succeeded by Southerners. Andrew Johnson, who succeeded Lincoln, was born in 1808. Lyndon Johnson, who succeeded Kennedy, was born in 1908. John Wilkes Booth, who assassinated Lincoln, was born in 1839. Lee Harvey Oswald, who assassinated Kennedy, 1939. Both assassins were known by 3 names, John Wilkes Booth, Lee Harvey Oswald. Both names are comprised of 15 letters. President Lincoln was shot in a theater named Ford. Kennedy was shot in a car named Lincoln, made by Ford. John Wilkes Booth ran to a theater and was caught in a warehouse. Oswald ran from a warehouse and was caught in a theater. Booth and Oswald were both assassinated before they could go to trial. And a week before Lincoln was shot, he was in Moreau, Maryland. A week before Kennedy was shot, he was with Marilyn Monroe.
The truth is hidden in plain sight, and this is how they hide everything. If you are looking for the knowledge that has been hidden from us, if you want to know the meaning behind these symbols, if you want to know who controls the world, this ebook will literally unveil that to you. And ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free.
All right.
So I haven't fact-checked any of these similarities, but I did Google it earlier prior to the show, and I guess
Google's fact-checking.
Like 80% of them, 80% of them are, actually did occur from the articles that I read. But I don't really have an explanation for it. I guess it's just crazy similarities. There's a lot of people saying like other dimensions or a numerical pattern every 100 years that everything just re-happens. Or, dude, I don't know. So I have really no take on this. It's fucking wild. So maybe one of you guys can educate me on what your thoughts are on all of this.
It's the Lizard Illuminati.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll get education from me, but before you can even get to what the you know all those coincidences, like that guy reading it himself looked like a walking conspiracy. Like they could have found anybody else to read that right there. Like that, right? I'm just watching that guy, and I'm like, something's going to happen on this screen. It's coming.
What do you got against Jabba the Hutt? That ain't cool, man.
Nothing. I'm just saying, like, if you want to sell a conspiracy, that's the guy you call.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, everybody can have a take at this or a run at this. I don't know, man. It's super fascinating, but I have no explanation for it. I mean, so many similarities, like, I don't know. Coincidence?
I mean, yeah. We'll let Monty go. Monty, what do you think?
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
If I'm a puppet master because I have some sort of a sick sense of humor, I'm doing stuff like this on purpose.
Right.
So if there are elements that you know, function together and coordinate, you know, world activities or human activities and things like that. This is something I would do. I would leave tracks like this because it's hilarious. It's dynamic. There's no rhyme or reason that you can sum up for it to line up this way. And it probably didn't take a whole lot of digging to just start coming against similarity after similarity after similarity. I mean, they probably started with their secretary's names, you know, seeing what the ladies' names were. I don't know what the hell to think of this. All I know is if there is a puppet master and if it were me, I would do shit like this.
Wasn't there games played back in middle school with kids like what 7 ways to Kevin Bacon or something like that?
Yeah. Dude, there was.
I feel like somebody got bored and just made this shit up for that.
Well, see, I'm wondering, like, right, okay, we're watching this conspiracy, but here's my question. Is that a conspiracy baked in a conspiracy? Like, people already don't believe the Lee Harvey Oswald thing. So is this, you know,
the second shooter?
As they were making up the timeline, did they just get really bored and be like, you know what, we'll just replay some shit from the Lincoln era and then create that timeline? Conspiracy layers, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, it's you got the old school, Chris. Make them look this way, do a bunch of stuff over here, too.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris. I'll go after you.
No, go right ahead.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Phil's point there and kind of elaborate on that to where there's something inside the other thing, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've said on the show before, I'm a spiritual person, all right? I believe I like that. I like the Bible code. Like when you look at the Bible code, right, and just like how perfect things are written. Like a certain verse referencing another verse is the same amount of letters, same amount of consonants, same that it's too much of a coincidence to not be on purpose. And it's written 500 years apart, like just wild stuff in there. Right. And that's where a lot of like Nostradamus, you know, everybody's like, oh, my God, he was one of the first people to, like start interpreting code. Right. Like he's just seeing things like happening, you know, and
symbology and code is so strong.
Symbology.
I think the word you're looking for is symbol.
Yeah. What's the symbology of this?
You got to be able to reference a Moondock Saints.
I'm yeah, exactly. Watch. Exactly. I feel like river dancing. now, is there something, you know, with, you know, now let's get even more wild with like, you know, the birth years and then, you know, like their, what is it? The horoscope or whatever, you know, maybe
astrology.
Maybe it's their type of character, like the Mercury retrograde that this person makes it, you know,
Gatorade
power with these, you know, these the same character traits and wanting to do these things, you know, and it just happens that way. But what we do know is true. Which at the end of that, where they always got to have some creepy guy, you know, with a weird voice talking about this book, you know, and it's like, just have a normal dude saying it, right? But
there's plenty of other ones out there too with normal dudes. I figured that would add to the effect, and it did.
I think for sure.
Yeah, like, so that dude's look had me hooked in the beginning. I was like, holy shit, this guy
knows. Timing, eerie
background. Yeah.
you probably came down late. You can always rewind it and watch it later. But no, we're talking about how the similarities between Kennedy and Lincoln, their birthdays, their
weird.
What we do know, there is a group of people that run this world, and it kind of will go into my book of Earl a little bit, but they're about power, money, and control.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the machine can't break down, and if you try to upset that machine, they're going to get rid of you.
Yeah. Right?
And if you're not doing what they want you to do, i.e. for Kennedy, right, you're not going to involve us in Vietnam. You're not going to put 500,000 troops in Vietnam. Bye, Felicia. Right? Oh, your brother might run for office. Bye, Felicia. Right? Like, and it's like, you don't mess with them. All right? That's the only person we've seen successfully mess with them, and they're not. I know some of you lefties aren't going to like it. Is the Don? All right, the Don has successfully messed with them because
he is definitely kicked too. Over the apple cart.
All part of it. Yeah, they're so powerful. They're all part of it.
So the Don that's might be part of it. Well, here's what that let me. I would agree with you on that, or like, you know, entertain that discussion. But the person that we do see making the most weight water is the guy with the most money and the most guns, and that's Elon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like Elon ain't afraid of nothing.
Yeah,
that right, wasn't like what guns are you
gonna
use?
I love how we got on TV and said we're going to Mars, and I'm doing that for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, and again, did Elon make a deal with the devil? Like we always say on the show, like, you know, Elon's either the greatest person
ever, alien himself,
or he's the Antichrist. Like,
yeah,
yeah. No, Kerry, you're spot on. That's my point. Like, it don't matter. You're part of that machine. You're part of that machine. Like, and you try to. And that goes into the same time frame as Kennedy was, you know, Martin Luther King. There's a strange correlation to where nobody really cared about what he was saying and doing until he told black males to not go sign up for this Vietnam War.
David, that's too much to read. Sorry for interrupting, Nick.
And so what he did when he finally spoke out about, like, hey, I know three hots and a cot and some money sounds good to a young black man at that time frame. That's hard for them to find work. He's like, easy, you know, don't think about it before you go join up that thing, you know. And then all of a sudden, schwack, can't have that influential dude stopping our biggest train of people coming in. So, like, it's, you know, it is what it is. Well, that's my take on it, is that do the dates and the numbers and the code matter? That's a conspiracy. I think what's true, and we've already discussed this before, is that there are people that run this world and you don't get in their way.
Like, yeah, I would believe that more than anything. You know, everything else aside, the root to all of it is somebody is in charge, and it's not the somebody that we know.
Right.
Knox. Yeah. You think you know, but you don't. The real. Yeah.
I don't know why my brain goes there, but have you guys seen the shit about the ice wall and, you know, the named Illuminati living outside of it and pulling our strings inside it. Like, that's not all that hard to believe.
No.
Yeah. There's a lot around Antarctica, and we've covered that, and we could go down a rabbit hole on that one, but like the Arctic Treaty, how it's like it's owned by multiple countries. It's just weird.
Why is there multiple national treaties that say you can't go there?
Yeah. Correct. And then like, The Russians were really big into it. The Germans were. And then, like, supposedly Admiral Byrd's mission out there with the Navy, when he, like, flew a plane out there and found, like, other areas that were populated by supposable aliens. It's, like, some crazy shit. Operation High Jump. Yeah, there's a lot of – it's wild. I mean, who knows, man? It's like Game of Thrones type shit, right? We're like, the wildlings. And then there's the wall to, like, you know.
That's where you host the next show. That's where season three starts, and probably ends.
Yeah.
I think it was about a week or two ago, I watched all the Matrixes over again. I have no earthly idea why, but like, you watch them now compared to when they came out. And I had a different, you know, of course, I'm older and a little more crazy and senile at this point. So I was like, interesting. Kind of like what he was saying, you know, you don't like the one that's there, you take him out, you put somebody else in. It's interesting.
Yep.
Yeah. No, we got a good message there. We finally got to go live on X again. So we got the Fob Mayor on there. I'm the one that's usually commenting, trolling all you dudes on Twitter. All right. So like, and I am a social media terrorist. I get you fired up. All right. So it is just what it is. I am pulling the strings on that. But you are right. They took Ali's belt when he spoke out against Vietnam. right? They took his belt away. Yeah. Right. Like, hey, shut that dude up. Like whatever. But yeah. Well, I guess this is actually a pretty good segue into my book of rules. So those of you watching for the first time, we got a lot of viewers. Like I said, every time Monte comes on, he brings in a good audience. That's why I get him on here. Monte's doing it. I mean, how do the people not come watch this guy? Look at that beard, that hat. There's a horse in the background.
Horse in the background. Like, I was gonna say,
what do we got going on here? So, like, I love it.
I'm still pissed off that Face Man said that shit in a French accent.
It's a damn old.
I did it all for you, brother.
Well, the best is when I sent the team who was coming on. He's like, "Oh, is that the guy from Arizona?" I was like, "Yeah, close, Montana."
Yeah. But, yeah.
I hear the horse back there yelling. So those of you watching for the first time, and I know it's hard for you to hear this because nobody ever likes to look in the mirror and say that, you know, that you become a triggered pansy more often than you think. Right. And most, and that's, you know, verse one, chapter one of the book of Earl is quit being a triggered pansy. And it's a message to me. It's a message to everybody else. And it's from my own triggeredness, right? It's from, like, when I look in the mirror and go, I'm being a douchebag right now. Like, you know, it's like it's.
Boy, I bet that happens a lot.
It does. But I mean, you got to put yourself out there to see, like, you know, otherwise you're just living in a shell, right? I get out there and find out what buttons I can push, you know, where I can get, you know, all that kind of stuff and have a little bit of fun. But something I'm not getting triggered about that I've practiced, you know, but recently is, you know, I have to, you know, keep rewriting the Beatitudes of the Book of Earl. You know, which is thou shalt not bear false witness against the economy. And then thou must know what the stock market is. Okay. So I'm getting a lot of triggered people on my thread that every time the market goes down, they brag about it. Right. Like, I told you Trump was going to do this. And then look at the economy now. All right. Real simple. The stock market is not the economy. Okay, it's not the same thing, all right? And there's only 1% of the people in this world are in the stock market, right? Like, that, and they're the billionaires that we're talking about that are controlling things. Now, does the economy affect the market? Yeah, like, you know, during Christmas time, retail stores stock prices tend to go up because people are buying presents, right? Like, when there's a fuel shortage somewhere, will those stocks, the oil stocks, start to go down a little bit? Yeah. Right. Like, it's so they kind of go hand in hand sometimes, but they're completely different. And what I want to say to you guys that are out there bragging about the stock market going down, you're an idiot. Okay. I got to say it. It's that simple. You're an idiot. Anybody who checks their 401k every single day, not smart. Right. Like, stock market does this. But notice it keeps going up. All right?
So curious, like, where this is going.
it's about
the punchline.
Yeah, it's coming. It's about, you know, being triggered about this stuff and then bearing the false witness that you have any fucking idea what the stock market actually is. All right. You don't. You have no clue. All right. If you're a day trader, you check the market every day. And here's the punchline to all this. We literally did a show. A three-part series where we brought an Army veteran on who's a Series 7 Jedi Master, every type of freaking investing license you can have and certification. And, I mean, we gave it to you, right, for free. Like, the advice, all right, go call them, okay? But so what I want to do is I want you to calm down, okay? If your 401k lost, you know, 200 grand and you're like, you're in your 50s, 60s, right? You only lost 200 grand of what?
You sold.
If you sell it. Yeah. Like, if you just gonna have to wait a little bit.
Find a dip and hodl.
And if you have a lot, and if you have and here's the other life lesson. If you have a lot of money in a 401k and you're at a certain age, just tell the truth to yourself that you have no idea what it's doing in there. Go get Ken Hewitt, our Army veteran. All right. Go pay him a couple $1,000 to make sure that when the market does make a correction, you're in the right things at your point in life that it doesn't hurt you that much, right? There's things that you can do, right? So that's it. You know, that's in the Book of Earl. All right, just don't bear false witness against the economy and the market. and
check my crypto right now.
Yeah, you gotta check your crypto. Yeah, crypto's on a run, right? So
hold on, I gotta look at my Trump coin.
Yeah, the Trump coin's at like $15 a coin, man. It's getting there.
Unreal.
Yeah, but that's the other thing too, is like people are saying Trump's insider trading when he's like, hey, good day to buy. You know, and
no,
it's
I don't
like,
think he's doing that. Like,
it's not insider trading it, if everybody knows.
Yeah, yeah.
He literally told everybody, it's no longer insider trading. But yeah, again, the president doesn't have that much to do about it. You know, he can say something that might make one of your parts of your 401k go up or down. But yeah, whatever. It is what it is. So yeah. That's my take. That's what I've been triggered about lately. All you guys on Facebook, and I didn't want to become a pansy about it, so I figured I'd just talk about it. All right? You guys don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. Stop posting about it. You ain't in the stock market. All right? Nice. Yeah. Go get that shirt. And remember, it's not a political shirt. It can be, but it's a conversation starter, and you wear it when you travel. You wear it to the airport. Why? Because it's a reminder to yourself. Guess who didn't delay that airplane? The lady standing at the desk. All right. She had nothing to fucking do with it. So you leave her alone. All right. You be nice to her. Okay. Like, stop it. You know, and the pilot who says, sorry, guys, you know, like we got to, you know, they got the air conditioning is not working. They won't let us take off. It's not his fault. Right. Like, he's got to follow it. So quit being triggered pansy.
Thanks for scanning that. Thanks for scanning that.
Yeah. And remember, it's okay to be triggered. Everybody gets triggered. I'm kind of triggered right now. Right.
Yeah.
Don't be a pansy about it. All right, don't make it everybody else's problem. All right, own your own demon and fix it. Okay. All right, now
I'm glad that's rule number one.
Yeah, that's chapter one, verse one. Right, look in the mirror. Are you being a douchebag right now? All right, hey, probably. Okay. And again, I'm not being a hypocrite. I've been a douchebag probably four times today. So like, it is what it is. but no, I get the distinct honor and privilege of you know, introducing Monte, all right, and his buddy Phil, right? But again, I do have to
be
dude, Monty, that's stuck. Yeah. That's just how it's going to be from now on.
Monte. Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, you're fucked.
You're welcome, brother.
Are you the count of Monte Cristo? So
oui.
There you go. But
yeah, I'm gonna go change the website right now.
Yeah, I mean, here we go. All right, this is where you know the big girl is rarely ever wrong. And when I am wrong, I don't like try to dig the hole even deeper. And that way you don't actually, you'll tend to forget that I was wrong, but you'll fight it. Right. So I told I was all excited. Monte knows where this is going. Right.
I gotta go. I'll see you later.
Yeah. I was all excited. I was all excited because I love Bonnie. I when he comes on, he owns the room. He's, you know, big character, you know, and it'll go into promoting him. I'm like, man, I can't wait to get Monty on the show again. I love talking to him. And I text him on Monday. I'm like, hey, what's up, bro? It's your week, baby. Like, I'm pumped. And he gets triggered. You know, he's like, well, I didn't have a calendar invite, and I'm kind of, you know, stickler about that. And I thought it was a different date. So, all right, bigger.
That's the same tone he had too when I read the text. That's the tone I heard it in.
Yeah, the bigger old scrolls up on his phone and screenshots it for old Monte.
You sure did.
I said, no, this is when you're supposed to come on the show.
Which was trigger number two.
Yeah. But anyways, for some reason, you stopped working at a fusion cell. All right. And I'm sure if you don't have to talk about that, don't care. But we loved fusion cell, what you guys were doing there. And, you know, we had our store with you guys and doing the shirts. And everybody, again, who bought those shirts from fusion cell, all right, all that money went to the Ultimate Sacrifice Foundation. That we took on that. But now he created a new company, Lean Synergy Staffing, which apparently you take a staff and you beat everybody up until they synergize, right? And they all get on the same page. However, it's like he sat there and he goes, I need to come up with a logo, something that grabs you and makes you, pulls you in. Use the picture of himself.
Yeah.
Like, so we definitely want to talk about how that's not going to work. And then he said, I'm going to bring Phil on. I'm going to get this guy named Phil. All right. Nothing. We can't church that up, but Filet. All right. Yeah. Like, Philippe. Like,
oh, you can think of some Philippe. Shit. Don't have to try hard. Believe me. I've lived with him my whole life.
Yeah. Philippe from Alaska.
Go get him, face man.
Lean Alaska. All right, welcome to the Dumpster Fire. Tell us everything that's new going on and how can we help?
Yeah, everything new going on in Alaska? Well, not a lot. That's why I came here, right? To get away from all the trigger pansies and everything else in the world. I was like, stock market? What the fuck is... No, I got to go. So I came up here to Alaska. But I think I mentioned it earlier. I got here because I got tired of the Army sending me to all the other armpits of the world. Like, I never got to go TDY to the Bahamas or anywhere cool. It was Iraq, Afghanistan, you know, somewhere. So I came to Alaska and did the most American thing I ever did in my life. I went fishing for salmon down in Seward. So I'm in these fjords, blue water, snow-capped mountains, fishing for salmon, bald eagles flying everywhere. And I was like, this is the most American thing I'll ever do in my life. I'm never leaving. And then
again, now all the Scandinavians are pissed. They're triggered.
All of them pissed. But so then, so I just, we stayed here. My time in the Army was over. I spent so much time hearing people kind of like you're talking about with the triggers. Everybody blamed everybody else. And, you know, my entire time watching the blue cords everywhere, jumping out of airplanes and all of us doing all this whiz bang shit. But somebody was always blaming somebody for something all day long. They're like, well, you screwed this up and you screwed that up all day long, right? Only infantry. I get it. I ran with those guys long enough to know that they need to be choked by those cords half the damn time. But as we're out there doing what we were doing, they were like blaming the people. I'm like, no, 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 that's not it. There's a different way. Let me find the process that's screwing your people over. Like, you have one specific function in life and it's not to worry about logistics. That's my job. You're worried about kicking doors in and killing shit. So let's focus on that. Let me take the focus off of the people, put it back. So went through a myriad of training and that's kind of how I got started. I found a way to live in Alaska and I found a way to make money here that didn't require me to leave and the company. And then what was more important about it though, was fulfilling a need where people kept coming after I retired looking for certain skill sets they couldn't find anywhere else. And they were like, look, I'm getting out. I don't know what to do. I'm scared. I'm alone. I'm afraid. I don't know what to figure out. What can you help me with? And I said, look, there's a skill set that has a piece of paper that gets you invited to any hiring manager's office. All right. So if you just spend a little bit of time with me, I can put you in, I can put you connected to that, which worked really well. And then I met Monty and Monty had the other side of the house. He knew the people to talk to. I was like, all right, I can do X, which is train them, and you can do Y, which was employ them. I was like, I feel like there's something we need to figure out here. And that's kind of how we came to be.
Nice. Well, so it's not beating up people with a stick?
Well, we do that as well, but we make them bend over first.
There you go. Well, yeah, Monte, tell us how you guys got connected. Tell us what you got going on with Lean Synergy. And, is it the same as what Fusion Cell was doing, different, or like what we got going on? How do we help our
viewers? Yeah, I put a lot of heart and soul into Fusion Cell, and it's still there. I got the damn thing branded on my body.
Yeah.
Commitment right there.
Yeah, my heart was in that. And the basis of what we did was bridging the gap from where veterans are into corporate America with companies that gave a damn about them. We did a hell of a job with that. We put a lot of people to work all over the world, made a lot of great connections. We hired wonderful people, still wonderful people. Fusion Cell is still doing their thing. Shout out to Dina Anderson, Tiffany Bradbury awesome, for keeping that thing alive. And they're going to make some changes. Fusion Cell's name might go away, and they're moving into some critical infrastructure recruiting, and they're going to do amazing and fantastic things with it. Can't say anything bad about anybody that's involved with that or ever was involved with it. My transition was I didn't want to leave the veteran centricity of what it is that I had built. I wanted to stay in the veteran community. And then fast forward or backwards, however you want to look at it, Phil and I met about 4 years ago. Fusion Cell was starting to come up. I think I was employee 4 or 5 or something at Fusion Cell. Employee number one, Radek Shishelsky, shout out to you, buddy, my favorite Polak. He introduced me to Phil, and there was just a kindred spirit. There was just some real genuine approach. We were really deliberate about the things that we did. We were consistent. We weren't risk adverse. And anyway, just a friendship struck, and we always knew that if there was an opportunity, we could probably do something special together. Well, the fast forward part is, Fusion Cell is starting to look like it's becoming something that still going to be fantastic, but maybe I didn't want to be a part of anymore. And I called Phil right away, one of my first phone calls. Hey, man, I think about doing something on my own. What do you think of X, Y, and Z? And we always knew that we had a really amazing alumni with Lean Alaska, those kind of people that were going through that training certification, Phil's teaching style, and that entire community that they created, that is really valuable talent to be able to go offer corporate America. So most staffing agencies, they have a database and they got certain numbers, and they will go to a company and hope that what it is that they need is in their briefcase. Well, I get to go with a loaded briefcase, knowing exactly who's in it, knowing the middle name of their middle child sometimes, and I get to tell them, hey, I've got this kind of talent. Is this something that you're interested in? Great. His name is X, Y, and Z. He's available in a month, and this is where he's at, and this is what it's going to take to get him. Are you on board? And so we get to have a different conversation, and some of the things that we talk about in terms of buzzwords is we've created a full-spectrum closed loop here. Come in, bridge the gap with credentialing and training and experience and portfolios that companies are looking for, stuff that people really, really need. When you train with Phil and Lean Alaska and you go through this change management, you get this operational excellence just ingrained into your mind, and you learn how to go in and make a company more efficient, more valuable, more streamlined, the investment that they make in you is now just a byproduct. Now it's a constant ROI because of what you're doing inside their organization. And Lean Synergy Staffing was born out of the concept of, let's do this on purpose. Let's go tell companies about this alumni, this talent, this capabilities that these people have, and let's do it on purpose and just see what happens. And so we are in the let's see what happens phase right now.
Nice. What's the plan you came up with? Fuck it.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So that's when
you charge the bill, figure it out later.
Yeah, so Phil, what I'm hearing there is that you have a training program that you take veterans in, like, and we've talked about this on the show with a few. They don't do what you do, but you know they've had points that are kind of like are reminding me of what they said is like. There's a lot of veterans get out and think I'm a program manager.
Yeah,
it's like because I was in charge of 500 people as a sergeant major or whatever.
Only about 85% of them think that.
Oh yeah,
that's yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah. But do you have your program manager? Certification,
right?
Yeah, like, so is that something that you're doing? Like, you grab somebody, hey, what do you want to do? Here's the certifications you're gonna have to have, and then we're gonna make this work for you.
We did, and it went way beyond just a veteran. Like, we started with people that were in that needed to learn how to speak a new language before they got out. You know how it is when you're getting out, you hear the same thing. Hey, we need to teach you how to speak civilian. Well, what they don't realize is that when you're trying to translate effort from military to civilian, that's a really hard language. You know, the industry doesn't understand that. If you come in and say, hey, I was a sergeant major or a commander in charge of 3,000 troops, but the company's only 1,500 people, they don't know what to do with that. They're like, great. So what you're telling me is you're replacing me as the CEO. That's what I'm hearing. So that translation of language is really hard. So we talk about focusing on results from your experience in the military, not the effort that you put in. It translates a little differently. So when you look at that, we're preparing them years before they get out. Then we're also taking the veterans and giving them a new language as well. But it falls into this certification trifecta, if you're talking, right? People, process, and project. Every single thing we do, we're focused on those three things. It's the people involved, it's the process you do it with, and it's the project or the function you're facing. So when we created Lean Alaska, we said, how do we satisfy all three of those? And most importantly, instead of trying to say, I was a leader, I've already done this, how do we create that training and skill that says, let me capitalize on the leadership you learned and teach you how to translate that a little differently? So when you go out in the industry, not only are they getting somebody that is trained to understand how people think and lead people in an organization, you teach them how to look at the process instead of blaming the person. You blame the process to the organizational level and figure out where the people are involved. And then we just take that natural leadership of framework, but we give it the civilian understanding, that project management, portfolio developer, scrum master, whatever it is. And that's how Lean Alaska was born. So we train and certify. You know, it's the titles don't ever sound real fun, right? Lean Six Sigma is process improvement, also known as operational excellence. And we certify individuals on that. But what's a little different about our training is it comes with, decades of military experience. So we're not teaching them the same civilian standard that they might. Everything we do is a military tie back. So if we're discussing what industry does, we're discussing how that translates to the military command experience as well. So it gave everybody a very different perspective when they were going through these, but they left with the same industry standard certifications that their counterparts on the outside did, but they were learning how to apply that during the military so they could speak their own language when they got out instead of just trying to read off a cue card. So it really And as Monty said, what happened was as everybody was transitioning, we trained over like 2,000 active duty and veterans in just about 2.5-3 years. And they kept coming back and we get these stories and we're like, hey, I just got hired at McMaster Car, or I got hired at General Dynamics or wherever. And I'm making about 130K a year now because of this certification. And when Monty and I were talking, I was like, man, what if we did this on purpose? Like, what if we found the jobs for these guys instead of letting them find them on their own? You know, and it goes back to that same premise we always talk about, the suicide rate. You know, when you leave, if you have purpose, it's less likely you're faltering around out there. So let's give them purpose so they have something to do. We keep them part of our community. The biggest thing with Lean Alaska and Lean Synergy Staffing is we're a gigantic family. Like Monty said, you know, the middle name of the middle child of the person you're working with. My cell phone is on the website because every student we've ever had calls me directly, and they call me whether, you know, they're having a bad day or they're looking for a job or a success story. It doesn't matter. So we create a family that puts all that support in there, and you know, the same things we all look for when we were getting out. And that's how kind of Lean Alaska came to be.
That's awesome. I wish you guys could like somehow become part of like the PAYS program. I don't know if like the Army has that. You know, when you go to MEPS, you sign up and then they partner you with a field, like based on your MOS, like a police mm-hmm. officer, firefighter, whatever it may be. And then those individuals stay in contact with you the last year prior to getting out. And as long as you have an honorable discharge, they're supposed to hire you. So like if you guys tied in with like the PAYS program somehow and, you know, like offered your program, might be something to look into.
Yeah, I definitely think it would be. I mean, there's so many, I would agree. There's some way to, again, deliberately carry them in transition.
Exactly. Yeah.
That, I mean, that would be the dream, to be honest with you, because then it takes off that stress
yep.
of what it looks like to make that great change of life. But yeah, I love that idea.
That's awesome. Good stuff. So like anybody that's watching now, where can they go, links, you know, how do they sign up? What's the weight if somebody like contacts you now and says, hey, I want to be part of this program. What does that look like? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So that's a long conversation, but I'll try to make it really short. Depending on what branch of service you're in, each of the services have their own programs, right? So you have mm-hmm. the Army, the Air Force, and the Coast Guard, and they have a cool program, Air Force cool, Coast Guard cool. The Army calls it credentialing assistance. But all of these pay for the training while you're on active duty. It doesn't touch your GI Bill. It doesn't touch your Chapter 35s, any of those other things. So if you're on active duty, I would say call us and let us show you how to use those benefits that exist. You walk one step past that and you're looking at the Navy and the Marines, a little different program, but we also have GI Bill that's available. So we have different options, again, not taking money out of pockets. That's our whole focus, train without pocket. As far as getting a hold of us, I see Lean Alaska streaming down there at the bottom. And I'll even do one better. My phone number is 907-203-7716. And you can stream that across there. Call me anytime snap. You want.
And hey, if they call now, do they get two sessions?
Do they get two sessions? No, they might get a free hug. I'm just kidding. But
if you call now.
Yeah, right. But we'll figure something out. Right. Maybe we just won't hit you with a stick as bad. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But
mention veteran trash talk and get three certifications.
That's it, right? Well, yeah, that's it. That's the trifecta, right? But yeah, like the easiest way I can say it is take a look at that site, call us, talk to us, and find out what it is, because there are so many paths to certification that some are unaware of. And there's so many different things that you can do. And what we focus on with each person that calls is what's the roadmap? It would be ridiculous for me to go out and say, you know what, this one certification serves everybody and it's the only thing that you need. That's very limited in focus. So kind of like what Monty does better than anybody I've ever met is find out, you know, he talks them through figuring out who they want to be when they grow up. And then we figure out the roadmap through our certification process that serves that purpose. So again, you know, lots of ways to pay for it, lots of military benefits to pay for things. And we figure it out either way, but calling us and helping us with, you know, letting us help you with that roadmap, I'd say that's probably the easiest path to go.
Love it.
Love
it. Very nice. Yeah. And then Monty, I have a serious question for you. Monte,
come on.
What product?
Just going to stop responding.
Yeah. What product do you use in your beard?
Yeah.
Cedar oil, Viking.
Viking cedar oil. And then do you dye it gray or is that wisdom?
This is chrome. As I get older, I just like to add chrome to the hot rod, man.
There you go. Awesome. And then on the personal level, you're at a rodeo because of course you are.
Well, I am. My daughter is chasing some Division I rodeo dreams, and so we are at the Washington State high school rodeo, first rodeo of the spring part of the season. You've got a fall season, and then part two starts now. And so we're chasing dreams today.
That's awesome. Nice. Yeah.
That's which shoulder I got? Other shoulder. That shoulder. That is cowgirl in the background, and she is an 18-year-old hot rod on four legs.
18-year-old, huh? How old do horses get? I have no idea.
It kind of depends. If you take care of them, I mean, I've had 30-year-olds in our yard. And I have
12 horses here. I got one downstairs. It's 42. And then she just refuses to let go. Yeah, Monte. Saw her while she was up here.
Monte. Whatever, Philippe.
Yeah, right?
Felipe.
Yeah, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, tuning in. A lot of horses in Iowa.
Right. Yeah, a lot of corn, too.
Out there. Wow. Out there in the heartland.
Hey, Earl, can I get on a soapbox?
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, I want to tell you, you know, when I got out of service, I wanted a job. I wanted to make a bunch of money. I wanted to do all the same shit that the rest of us did. I wanted to have a secure and stable family and all those kinds of things. And as I started to go through this transition and find my place in the world, I found a very specific purpose, something that is kind of near and dear to my heart. And I know it is to you guys as well. I believe 100% that the foundation of a man and a woman having a meaningful life, or the ability to influence whether their life is meaningful, is being able to take care of themselves. And so I was trying to help underemployment, unemployment, military divorce rates. I was trying to help suicide rates. I was trying to help just joy in the general sense. Everything kept coming back to problems, not solely initiating from the lack of being able to take care of themselves, but a lot of them. If I could make a gross generalization, it's when people don't have the foundation to truly care for themselves, that becomes a really big problem, and it escalates fast. And you talk to people that are homeless on the streets that are in veteran status, and you try to find those trigger moments, like, when did it all just go bad? And it's kind of like 80-year-olds telling you that you didn't, your 80-year-old body was built when you were 40, buddy. It's those little steps that end up, that lead you into those spaces. So I've realized that if I can affect quality jobs, meaningful employment, and I fully understand what it is that these men and women really want to do, there are times where they can come to me and say, you know, I want to be X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, well, that's great. Let's talk a little bit more. By the end of the hour, we're talking about something that is totally different, that's in their joy. Earl, you talk about faith. You talk about having some sort of you know, belief system. I believe that if we operate within our gift system, if we take enough time, establish enough patience, and dig deep enough and discover what our gift systems are, how and why we are built, prosperity is unavoidable. Joy is unavoidable. Happiness and keeping families together, all those things are unavoidable. And that's where I want to get. And that's where I wanted to really kind of do my own thing with people that believe the same things that I do. And so when you go after certifications or training or employment services, you're getting something that's standing on a foundation of those kinds of thoughts. We don't give two shits if we make a dollar if it's on your back. But if we can make some money while we are lifting you up, we're pulling you up the mountain that we just climbed, of course, we're going to love that, but never on the backs of that. And so I just think I just wanted to say how important it was for me to say that I discovered my life's purpose by finding those foundational moments to give people something concrete to stand on. And then I get to bring people in like Phil into my life, Big Earl, and just create a community that does that nonstop for the right reasons.
Right. Yeah.
I love that.
You can give your way to a better life. That's for sure.
Agreed.
100%.
So no,
self-worth is so important. Self-worth is so, and people will be like, I always tell people, you got to love yourself first. Cause if you can't love yourself, like, how are you going to love anything else? Or how are you going to be, you know, it's just, and people are like, that's fucking arrogant. No, I got to love myself first. I'm going to be way more productive.
But I didn't understand that basement for a long time.
Right.
Yeah, I did not get what that meant.
Yeah. Cause you think selfishness, and we're not telling you to be selfish. We're telling you to,
not at all.
Yeah, you know, make yourself.
It's almost the opposite, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
You're making yourself more available.
Right. Make 100%. Yourself great. That's so awesome. You are that person that people come to.
And it's also the type of energy that you put out into the universe. Then when you feel good about yourself, it's just like, it's a whole different characteristic because when you're down and depressed and you hate yourself, you're also going to create that environment. It's just going to get worse and worse, you know? Yeah, so I love that. I love
that. It's the same analogy, right? If you want to be a good leader, you got to be a good follower first, right? If you want to make 100%. Help other people love themselves, got to love yourself first. Same concept.
Yep. Spot on.
Well, seeing as, you know, the reason why we don't ever bring Chris onto the show is because he just sits there, right? but he's actually very, very talented and he does a lot of the stuff in the background and does all the screen stuff and yada, yada, yada. But we gave him something in the script. But before he does the AAR, do you have that video that I sent you? Is that loaded that we're going to play on the fight show? Is that here or is it a different thing?
I can get it loaded. Give me a minute.
With the slot machine. I just want to bring this up. I'm calling myself the slot machine Jesus, the casino Jesus.
Right? Did you text that to me or Facebook it?
I don't know. I think I Facebooked it. I Facebooked it to you. I messaged her.
Chris never says no, does he? He just says, just give me a minute.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he's a Marine, you know, so it is what it is. But I, you know, I got to Wisconsin for the draft and I ran into my buddy and we went to the Indian casino in Milwaukee, Algonquin for the good land. Right. And this guy sat down like a ton of bricks. Right. And he 100%, he sat, pressed and hit the bonus on the first spin, which is about six of those gold orbs. Right, it started to fill up one by one, and these are big numbers on these orbs. So I'm like, hey man, this is a good freaking hit, bro. And I was like, maybe I should record this because if that thing fills up, he gets that 142,000. All right, so go ahead and play it. I'm a little inebriated in this, by the way. It's like 2 o'clock.
Oh, there's money. He got it. Ended for 14. Oh, one more. Let's do it. Big girls, let's do it.
So, I want people to have a really good Saturday night and Sunday, you know, morning. Is he goes, you know, we're all cheering for him, and he goes, I have to call my dad. Then he calls his dad. And he calls his dad and he says, and it's like I said, this kid's like 23, 25 years old. And he says, we don't have to worry about it anymore, dad. And I'm sitting here like, and you hear, he's like, I just hit a slot machine for $142,000. And you hear what on the phone, you know? And like, we leave because security comes, they rip the whole slot machine apart, you know, yada, 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 yada. We won like $500. We were happy, you know? It's like, so we, you know, I come back 30 minutes later and he's bawling in his hands, you know? And I'm like, you okay, dude? You know, like, I'm like, they pay you? He's like, yeah, they paid me. And I'm like, well, what, like, you good, man? He's like, his dad had bailed him out 3 years ago and like with his dad's like life savings. And then he had lost his job. His dad lost his job 2 years after that. And his dad was about to lose the house. And he's like, we don't got to lose the house anymore, dad. And I was like, holy buckets, you know? And the best part of that is we took a ticket from our other machine we were on and tried to put it in that machine and it didn't work. And we sat to the machine next to it and put it in. And that kid sat down right next to it and saved his dad's house. Now,
incredible.
We don't recommend that for, you know, building your wealth and your experience and knowledge of going to the casino.
Yeah, but go to the casino and gamble it all away.
It was just a happy story that just happened. And you know,
that's awesome, man.
Saw it happen. But all right, Chris.
I'm glad you were there for that, dude, because you're uniquely positioned on how to put that into perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, buddy. Yeah, it was great.
All right, so Dave thinks he can speak three languages and has ruined Monte's life forever now because he'll never live again.
The Count of Monte.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, brother. Anytime.
Lincoln and Kevin, there's some sort of lizard Illuminati or multi-dimension thing going on with them. Who knows? It's still to be found out. The big girl's triggered, as always. And then Phil and Monte are doing great things helping people get black belts and gold belts and basically doing what we're doing, but they're making money at it.
Yeah.
Lifting up veterans.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's
what's
up. That's it.
Good times. All right.
Yeah, well, last word to the guests, and Dave, close us out.
Take it, Phil.
Oh, where are we going? No, I'm just kidding. Right now, I'm ready to be inebriated. No, no, just, well, one, I want to appreciate everybody for letting me come and hang out with. This is probably the coolest thing I think I've done in the Super
Bowl. Isn't it awesome? It's our therapy, bro.
Yep.
Every Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sold. Like 100% sold. I mean, I already listened, but now that I just get to hang out with you guys, it just makes it, you know, it's like running into your heroes. It's awesome. But no, just appreciate you having the show and letting us say a thing and just remember to everybody that's out there, right? Transition, you don't have to do it alone. Being a veteran, you don't have to do that alone. Figuring out your path to the future, you don't have to do that alone. And here's the best thing about it. Because of technology, we don't even have to be in the same state. We're a phone call away. We're internet-based. Everything we do is virtual to include the training. You know, we figure it out for you in the age of technology where you don't have to figure it out for yourself. So thanks for having me on and letting us share our story.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll close with, I know the hearts behind this show, and to close with some sappy stuff, you guys are first class. I know you were in the Army. We got a Marine here, but you guys are very impressive. You're very consistent. You're deliberate. And my favorite part about you guys is you're genuine.
I was the DEI hire.
And we're airborne. Don't forget airborne.
And we're airborne.
Don't forget airborne.
Yeah.
Oh, that other branch. That's right.
Yeah. The only branch.
I was going to say, that's the only
one. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Love what you guys are doing, and we'll continue following you. And you guys are obviously always welcome to come back on the show. Thanks to all the viewers today. If you tuned in late, go to veterantrashtalk.com. That is our website, which has links to everything. If you're watching right now, do us a big favor. Go over to YouTube. Give us a like, subscribe, push us through the algorithm, because we are shadow banned over there. YouTube does not like us. Go to shop.veterantrashtalk.com. That has all of our merch. Chris got the shirt that I'm wearing on today, which is a Gruntworks, our OG Gruntworks official. Beautiful shirt. It always will look better on me, but you can give it a try. Nick is trying the only infantry today, which is also one of my favorite. And Chris, you're not wearing one.
No.
I don't know what's wrong with you. Thanks, everybody. And we'll catch you guys next Saturday. Face Man VTT out. Boom.